a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I want to call to order the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. I want to welcome all of you to our committee meeting and greet our internet listeners. Just a reminder, please turn off your cell phones. And with that, I'll ask the secretary to call roll.
Senators Bradford.
Here.
Holeen.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Krebs.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
Sohal.
Here.
Hunoff.
Here. We do have a quorum. Thank you. I would entertain a motion of the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Holeen. All those in favor of the motion for approval of the minutes signify by saying aye. Those
aye.
Okay. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are moving. All right. Very good. That's what I like. Our Paige is not here right now. Otherwise, I'd have her introduce herself, but she's Sarah DeYoung. She's from Sioux Falls, and she attends Washington High School. So when Sarah comes back, we will thank her for serving in our committee today. Just a reminder for the organization all here, anyone that is going to testify, please sign in. When you come up to the microphone, you hit the button, and the green light comes on. Please identify yourself, who you are for our home listening audience, and then you can begin your testimony. I will provide for the proponents to provide testimony, the opponents, and then if there's any rebuttal, and then open up the committee for discussion and for questions of those that are providing testimony. So with that, we're going to start with Senate Bill 46, which is a repeal of certain outdated statutes and cross-references related to the Department of Health. Then, if we do have a page in attendance, always give the handouts to the page, and they will provide for the members of the committee. And another reminder, all questions go through the chair. Thank you and good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Tom Martinez, and I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Health. There's a bill brief going around. Senate Bill 46 is part of Governor Dugard's continuing initiative to cut red tape in state government. Last year, we started the process. The department brought a bill that successfully repealed a number of outdated and obsolete statutes and regulations relating to the Department of Health. This year, we're continuing the effort, and we've identified additional statutes that we believe are not necessary and, in most cases, redundant. We believe that these statutes can be eliminated in the interest of decreasing the overall regulatory burden of state government. As you can see, and I'll apologize, but Senate Bill 46 is a fairly lengthy bill. It contains 46 sections. To make it even more confusing, the bill is organized in numerical order according to the statutes that are effective. The good news is that the general subject matter of the statutes that are impacted can be organized into seven groups, and we've listed those in the bill brief to help kind of simplify it for you, and I'll follow that as I explain the bill. Section 1 seeks to repeal a statute that directs the Department of Health to perform the functions of three former officers or committees, the Inspector of Mines, the Commissioner of Drugs and Substances Control, and the Public Health Advisory Committee. This is an old statute, first enacted in 1973, last amended in 1980. Regarding the Inspector of Mines, this is an antiquated statute. We don't know why the duties of the Inspector of Mine were originally assigned to the Department of Health, but currently mines in South Dakota are regulated by the Department of Environment and Natural Resources and the Federal Mine Health and Safety Administration. If the Department of Health was ever actively involved in the regulation of mines, it was a very long time ago. The second part of that, the Commissioner of Drugs and Substances Control. In 1974, the Office of the Commissioner of Drugs and Substances Control was abolished and its functions were transferred to the Department of Health. Today, the functions of that former office are split between the Department of Health through Chapter 3420B, which is our controlled substances statutes, and the Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, which is in the Department of Social Services. Therefore, again, this part of the statute is outdated and redundant. The third subsection pertains to the Public Health Advisory Committee. This part of the statute is also redundant in that there is another more specific statute that addresses the issue, Section 341.2.2, which was enacted in 1980, abolished the Public Health Advisory Committee and set forth its functions in a number of other sections in Chapter 34.1. So the two statutes do essentially the same thing, and we believe we can get rid of this one. Moving on to the next group of statutes that we're proposing to repeal, and it pertains to Sections 2 and 3 and Sections 8 and 9. They all relate directly to Section 143.22, which requires hospitals to submit to the department their prices and information on health outcomes. This is another antiquated and redundant statute. I believe the statute was part of a number of statutes put in place during health care reform efforts of the early 1990s, the President Clinton's health care reform. Since then, more relevant statutes have been enacted in Chapter 34.12e that make healthcare charge information available to the public. Sections 4 through 7 repeal three statutes related to emergency medical services grants. These statutes were put in place in 1994 as an initiative to improve EMS services statewide. That year, there was a substantial special appropriation to fund a number of EMS grants, and these statutes dictated how the department was to disperse those grant funds. At the time, the state EMS office was in the Department of Health. It's since been transferred to the Department of Public Safety. Therefore, these statutes simply are no longer necessary. Sections 10 and then 19 through 36 are proposing to repeal all of the statutes that pertain to chiropractic hospitals. These statutes were enacted in 1947 when the first chiropractic clinics were also hospitals. To our knowledge, this is an antiquated model of care. No chiropractic clinic has operated as a hospital in South Dakota for many years. Of course, chiropractors themselves are regulated by the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. And if there was interest in opening a chiropractic hospital today, we believe it would be most appropriately governed by Chapter 34.12, which deals with hospitals and related institutions. Moving on to Sections 11 through 18, by law, healthcare providers are required to disclose all fees and charges, and failure to do so can result in disciplinary action by the respective licensing agency. Sections 11 through 18 pertain to a group of statutes that take it a step further by requiring various healthcare facilities and providers to post signs encouraging patients to ask about their fees and charges. We believe, again, that these statutes were part of the healthcare reform efforts of the early 90s. We're proposing to eliminate these statutes, the statutes that require the posting of signs, but of course we're leaving intact the statutes that require the disclosure of price and charge information. Again, in the spirit of reducing the overall level of state government regulation, we believe the signage requirements can be eliminated without any meaningful impact on healthcare consumers. Sections 37 through 45 propose to repeal a set of statutes regarding the identification and treatment of ophthalmia neonatorum, which in layman's term is an eye infection that a newborn can contract through the birth process. These statutes are old. They were put into place in 1925, and at the time it was probably good public health to require the treatment of this condition in state law. However, today, the prevention and treatment of ophthalmia neonatorum is a standard of practice in medical care for newborns. Therefore, it's really not necessary to continue to require this in state law. Lastly, Section 46 proposes to repeal a statute that the Department of Health provide an annual report of our tobacco control program. This statute was put into place when the state tobacco control activities were transferred to the department. The intent of the statute was to ensure transparency in how the program is administered and continues to be administered. Since the statute was put into place, we've developed a fairly comprehensive tobacco control website that contains our statewide strategic plan to prevent and reduce tobacco use, various reports, and much of the information that you would find in the annual report. Furthermore, all contracts, and I guess that was an issue at the time that these statutes were put in place, the tobacco control contracts, all those contracts that we entered for for tobacco control program activities are available currently on the OpenSD website. So we feel that the statutory requirement to prepare an annual report is unnecessary. With that, Madam Chair, we respectfully ask for your support of Senate Bill 46, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Are there other proponents for Senate Bill 46? Senate Bill 46. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 46? Opponents to Senate Bill 46. Seeing none, questions of the committee. Anyone have a question? Senator Bradford. Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could I ask, these commissioner, inspector, were those jobs in existence? Or are they just the wording is here? I mean, we're just eliminating the wording, or did those jobs exist?
Madam Chair, the statute was put into place and amended when those positions were eliminated. So it's my understanding the way the statute reads is they put that statute in place so that the duties of that former office or the former position would continue on in the Department of Health.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
The other thing is could you tell me why the mining, maybe why it was moved from health? Because to me, that it was moved to environmental. But to me, I mean, I'm especially interested in the new mining in the Edgemont area, and it's a health factor for me, not a environmental factor. So I was wondering why.
Madam Chair, I can attempt to answer this, but at one time, and I believe it was prior to 1973, there was an entire statute that dealt with the inspector of mines. And around 1973, that was repealed, and then the duties were transferred to, I believe, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. I can't explain why they had this statute, too, that said that the duties would also be carried on by the Department of Health.
Any other questions? Thank you. I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion or action by the committee.
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Move to pass.
It's been moved but do pass by Senator Jensen. Is there a second by Senator Krebs? Any comments on that motion? Hearing none, the motion before you is do pass on Senate Bill 46. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen. Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Krebs.
Move consent calendar.
Move for consent by Senator Krebs. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the motion for consent signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Senate Bill 46 goes on consent agenda. For those present in the room, what that means when we just took this action, this bill will now go down to the Senate floor, but it will not be on the debate calendar. It will be on consent with other bills that everyone feels comfortable, that it's a common sense, there wasn't any opposition, and it seems that just having that information so that we won't have public discussion downstairs on the bill, but we'll all vote in unison by vote to pass this bill through the agenda. With that, we have students present, so I'm going to ask one student to come up to the microphone here, press the green button, and tell us where you're all from. Good. And welcome. Should be a green button. So the home audience, yeah. So tell us who you are.
I'm Edward, and we're from Baltic.
Baltic. And how many students?
I think we brought our whole government class, so about 35.
Very good. Well, thank you for coming, and we certainly appreciate you being here and hope we can provide you with some good information. Thanks again. With that, we'll move to our second bill, which is Senate Bill 26, which is to update terminology for individuals with intellectual disabilities and similar terms. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I am Lori Gill, I'm the Secretary for the Department of Human Services. I am here today to talk about Senate Bill 26, which is an act to update terminology for individuals with intellectual disabilities and similar terms. I want to begin talking about Senate Bill 26 by asking you to think about the power of words. We can easily take for granted and underestimate the impact that language can have, but for individuals with intellectual disabilities, their loved ones and friends, and those that provide their supports, language can be especially powerful and hurtful. We have lived too long with terms like retarded, mental retardation, retard, and the rest. These terms are examples of what we call the R word, and they are dehumanizing and perpetuate negative stereotypes faced by people with intellectual disabilities. I don't want to criticize the people that went before us that used those terms because times were different then. Originally used for medical diagnostic purposes, this kind of language is clearly outdated in 2013. In 2010, Congress passed and the President signed Rose's Law, which mandated federal statutes no longer use the term mental retardation, replacing it instead with the phrase intellectual disability. The meaning did not change. The term changed. In a parallel effort to replace offensive terms in favor of more enlightened language, the Department of Human Services is prepared to follow suit. Currently, there are many references to the R word in South Dakota codified law, and the aim of Senate Bill 26 is to change outdated and offensive references in law, such as mental retardation and mentally retarded, to reflect more appropriate people-first language, like individual with an intellectual disability and intellectual disability. We think it's not only important to join the national movement to educate the public about how the R-word terminology is demeaning, but also to raise awareness in our own state. Changing the R-word in statute through Senate Bill 26 is a major step toward honoring the dignity of people with intellectual disabilities and recognizing the important contribution of all South Dakotans. That ends my remarks. I urge your support of Senate Bill 26, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Are there other proponents for Senate Bill 26? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I am Mark Bratt, and I'm Executive Director of the Community Support Providers of South Dakota, and we are a group of the 19 community support agencies in South Dakota that serve individuals with intellectual disabilities. And we commend the Department of Human Services for bringing this legislation forward. I really don't have anything new to add to Secretary Gill's presentation. We just feel that the bill is updating outdated terminology, is more respectful, and also eliminates some stigma for people with disabilities. And with that, we would respectfully request support of this bill. And with that, I will be available if there are any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bratt. Are there other proponents? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. My name is Kitty Kinsman. I represent Children's Care Hospital and School, which operates across the state with facilities in Sioux Falls and Rapid City, and we support the department's efforts to really reflect how we already talk about children and adults with intellectual disabilities. So thank you for your support.
Thank you. Other proponents? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Shelley Pfaff, South Dakota Coalition of Citizens with Disabilities. We're a consumer organization that represents people with all types of disabilities throughout the state of South Dakota. On behalf of our membership and others, we also are fully supportive of this bill. This is a bill that truly addresses something that needs to be changed in an effort to ensure the respect of all people with disabilities, and so we would respectfully ask for your support of this bill.
Thank you. Any other proponents any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, are there any questions by the committee? Seeing none, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion or action by the committee.
Madam Chair.
Senator Sold.
I would move due pass of Senate Bill 26.
Thank you. It's been moved by Senator Solholt, seconded by Senator Rampelberg to move to do pass Senate Bill 26. Any comments on that motion? Senator Bradford.
I have a comment. I went to work in 1960 for the school, and I was an assistant janitor in the I worked there 1 year, and that second year the head janitor came to me and said, I am now a custodial engineer. And he said, but you're still an assistant janitor. But this is a great thing, people.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. With that, the motion before the committee is due pass on Senate Bill 26. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
Aye.
Pauline. Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Solholt.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Aye.
Motion carried. Okay. With that, then I will assign Senator Solholt Senate Bill 26 to take to the floor. All right. With that, we will move to Senate Bill 25. I am going to move Senate Bill 25, defer action on that as a courtesy to the department doing some further work on that. But is there anyone that is here today that came to provide testimony on Senate Bill 25? Anyone here? All right. With that, then, we're going to defer that bill, and it will fall below the line and tentatively get scheduled for next week at some time. There'll be adequate time posting on that bill. With that, then, we will move to Senate Bill 24, which is to revise certain provisions relating to the Board of Examiners of Psychologists. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Amy Iverson-Porres, Deputy Secretary for the Department of Social Services. Senate Bill 24 is actually coming to you from the Psychologist Examiners Board. If you'll recall from the DSS presentation last week, we discussed how those boards transitioned during Governor Dugard's reorganization of behavioral health services from the Department of Human Services to the Department of Social Services, and then the bill is introduced by the department. Since it is actually a board bill, I am going to turn it over to a board member to talk with you about the specifics of the bill. So with that, I will have Tom Stanage come and testify on behalf of the bill.
Thank you. As a reminder, did you sign in? Okay, thank you.
I did sign in.
Good morning and welcome. Yes, you did, Dr. Stanage.
Good morning, Senators. I'm Tom Stanage, and I'm a psychologist, and I'm the vice chair of the Board of Psychological Examiners. The chair, Dr. Magnavito, was not able to be here today because of a family emergency. I'm going to speak to you today primarily about the reason that the board feels that the changes are necessary. But before I do that, I just want to address a few questions that I understand have been raised regarding the bill. And number one, the bill is not intended to affect anybody who's currently licensed. There's just no impact in that regard. It applies to applicants for licensure. The second part is that the bill really doesn't make any changes that would not allow somebody to be licensed in the future who currently would be eligible for licensure. And some of it really becomes, some of those issues come about because of confusion about between counseling, school psychology, and then clinical psychology, which is really the purview of the Board of Psychological Examiners. School psychologists, just as a way of background, school psychologists are not licensed in South Dakota. In South Dakota, they're certified by the Department of Education, and that's a completely different process. The Board of Psychological Examiners really has nothing to do with that. And then counselors, and typically these are coming out of programs that are KCREPT accredited, which is the accrediting board for counselors, really have their own licensing process, and that's through the counseling licensing board. With that as background, I just want to turn and talk to you about the reasons that we're really coming forward with these changes. And in order to do that, I think you have to understand a little bit about what the requirements are for a licensed psychologist. And for a licensed psychologist, there's really four major criteria to be eligible for licensure. And first of all, an individual has to graduate from a doctoral program in psychology that's accredited by a regionally accredited university. Second, the applicant has to have completed an internship. And an internship is a defined term, typically 1,800 hours. The third criteria is the applicant has to complete 1 year of additional supervised training, so that's post doctoral training. And then fourth, the applicant must pass a national exam, and then they have to pass an oral exam that really focuses on state law and ethics. And the oral exam is really focused on South Dakota, practicing in South Dakota. The changes that we're proposing really have to do, the major changes have to do with, or primary changes have to do with, the first two requirements, namely the definition of a program in psychology, and then secondly the definition of internship. And the issue is, why are we doing this now? And the board feels compelled to come forward with legislation that we see as really kind of cleaning up the existing statute. And the current statute, in terms of psychology programs, puts the burden on the board to really evaluate whether a program is a program in psychology. We look at a laundry list of elements and say, does that meet the criteria for a program in psychology? The laundry list, and this is talking about a program in psychology, the laundry list of elements at one time corresponded to the American Psychological Association elements that defined a program in psychology, but of course over time the APA definitions have changed, the statute hasn't. So that's one reason. It's just those elements are in statute. They at one time they reflected APA criteria, and that has changed to some extent. Also, those elements that we have to look at for every applicant are becoming more difficult to evaluate as higher education has changed. I mean, the reality is in the world that we live, higher education is changing rapidly, and we're dealing with more distance learning and online education and all of those kinds of things. And the current statute just hasn't kept up with that, and it's hard for the board to really keep up with that. The current statute also puts the burden of evaluating internships on the board. The board evaluates 9 different elements regarding the internship, down to the percentage of time that the intern spends in direct client contact. And the same thing has happened with internships, that the the elements that are, these are really defined in rule, but are defined in rule, have changed over time, and the statute hasn't. So the board is coming to you primarily because we see these as changes that are needed to really keep up with changes that have happened in the field. The first revision just simply takes those elements. You see all those strikeouts in the bill, defining a program in psychology, and replaces that with the American Psychological Association or the Canadian Psychological Association, and they're the same. Their criteria are the same, and those are the appropriate accrediting bodies for programs in psychology. I mean, there's just no, those are the appropriate accrediting bodies. Again, the board's trying to get out of the business of having to accredit program. We just don't have the resources to do that. The second revision defines an internship as one that is accredited by the American Psychological Association, the Canadian Psychological Association, or the Association of Psychology Postdoctoral and Internship Centers, which are the three accrediting bodies for internships. So it really replaces, again, the laundry list of elements with those accrediting bodies. The benefits from our point of view is that the changes make sure that the licensing law keeps up with changes in the field and changes in accreditation. The changes place the accreditation function with the appropriate entities, entities that have the appropriate expertise and, quite honestly, the resources to do that. That's what they're there to do. The changes, in our opinion, enhance the board's ability to protect the public, which is our main function. It also allows us to use resources more wisely. And finally, the board thinks that the changes will reduce our risk or exposure to lawsuits. I ask your support for Senate Bill 24. I'll remain for questions.
Thank you. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 24? Other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents to Senate Bill 24? Are there opponents? Seeing none, I will open up for questions by the committee. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doctor, back to the hot seat. I've had some communication from some people who are concerned about this particular bill. And quite candidly, I'm not really sure what their issue might be, but it appears from your testimony that what you are, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this, but you are trying to remove the board from accreditation. It's not the right word to say that, but the way to say that, but so the people that are contacting me that are concerned about this are feeling that if they are getting their internship from an organization that's not one of the three, that they would not be able to complete their internship under this particular bill. Is that a correct? You must have heard some pushback on this as well.
Yeah, and
help me out here.
I'll just answer as best as I can the issues. And I think some of the questions you're getting kind of go to the heart of one of the issues that the board's struggling with. And that the way the current statute is currently written, because there's this laundry list of elements, that there can be some confusion about, on the part of somebody that's in a program, is this going to qualify or isn't. And the board really has to go through the process of, you know, really looking at the issue. And in the past, I think the issues that the complaints or letters that you received are from people where in the past it may have been an issue when the licensing board was first for psychologists was first put in place, there was no licensing board for counselors, for example. And so there was some of this attempt to kind of, you know, wiggle in to the on the as a psychologist. But that was really eliminated when then the board of counselors have their whole process. Right now in South Dakota, and I'm most familiar with USD, but USD has a clinical psych program which is APA approved and meets all the criteria. But then the Department of Ed has two other programs, and one is a counseling program and one is a school psych program. And the school psych program, you know, the appropriate path or for a professional school psychologist in South Dakota is certification, which the Department of Ed does, and then for somebody that has that is in the counseling program, which would be approved by KCREP, which is the counseling body that would be go through the counseling board. So I hope that answers your question. I think that this, to the extent that there's any confusion now, hopefully these changes will eliminate that. So.
Thank you, Doctor. Well, let me just continue on just a bit here. So I'm still really confused. Maybe that's not unusual, but the question I have that I'm noodling on, what would be the outcome, what would be the unintended consequence potentially of this bill for people that are currently in programs that don't quite fit the yardstick that is being proposed within this particular bill?
Okay. You know, though, Madam Chair, the only way that I can answer that is that anybody who that I've seen who has raised concern would not meet eligibility requirements under the current statute. That's all I'm saying. So it wouldn't have an impact.
Madam Chair?
Sir, yes.
Thank you. I'd like to bring an amendment to Senate Bill 24.
Senator Jensen, you want to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, along with Senator Rampelberg and perhaps others on this committee, have been approached by students concerned with the ramifications, perhaps unintended consequences of this Senate Bill 24 as currently written. It's with that in mind that I asked the LRC to draft this amendment. What this amendment will eliminate, I believe, is confusion on this issue that has been brought up. I believe it will bring peace of mind to the 200 or so students who believe that Senate Bill 24, as currently written, poses a concern, and I believe that this amendment will address that concern. It reads, any applicant who entered a doctoral degree program of psychology at any regionally accredited university or professional school of psychology or is recognized by the Association of Universities and Colleges of Canada as a member in good standing prior to July 1st, 2013, and who received a doctoral degree from that program or has been and continues to be enrolled in that program until graduation is entitled to apply for licensure under the provisions of 36-27A-12 as the provisions of 36-27A-12 existed on June 30th, 2013. So I would encourage the committee to adopt this amendment. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. I guess I would like a response, if possible, from Dr. Stanage what kind of implication this would have. And then I have a few questions. So, Dr. Stanage, do you want to respond?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I don't see any issue with that. The question becomes program is in psychology, and it's defined as it is currently in this statute. So, I mean, that would be, from my point of view, acceptable. I think I can speak from the boards that would be, because there is no intention of eliminating anybody currently who would currently qualify.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is somewhat of a follow-up for the conversation we're having, and it does pertain to the amendment, so it is somewhat related to the amendment, if I may ask the question. Can you clarify for all of us the reasoning behind or a clarification as far as why we're trying to eliminate or why the elimination of the school psychologist's program through your accreditation?
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
Answer that. There's no effort to do that. It's just that school psychology is a completely different animal and has never been. It's been certified by the Department of Education, and it's just a different entity.
No, thank you, Madam.
I'm going to follow up on that then, and it has relevance to the amendment. So the people that are in this amendment that are in these programs could be in the School of Psychology that are counselors.
Could be, yes.
And so by allowing this, then they would then be able to be licensed as a clinical psychologist with preparation as a school psychologist or counselor?
Well, again, if they met all of the criteria as a program in psychology, and you know, then you get back to the those whole issues of definitions, and it's really, you know, that's an accreditation issue, and that's really an issue that goes back to the school. But potentially, yes, if it meets the criteria as a program in psychology. I don't know that this amendment is going to make any huge change, but I don't think what we're proposing makes any huge change. And if this makes people feel more comfortable, I'm fine with it.
Any other? Senator Solholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question of clarification on page 1 of line 8, where it talks about the PhD and the EDD. So both of those still would be criteria to qualify to meet those four basic goals of being a psychologist, where you have a doctoral program in psychology. So is that an EDD path and a PhD path?
Well, there could be an EDD path, yeah.
All right. So, but that would be different. I'm sorry. Can I ask a follow-up question? Thank you, Madam Chair. So right now with the school psychologists, are there people that could have a doctorate in that program?
Well, there are, and I guess there's no program like that in South Dakota. I mean, that's one of the ways to answer, probably the most direct way to answer that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a clarification as well, Doctor. Do you have a copy of the amendment before you?
I do.
Thank you. On the first line, notice it says that any regionally accredited university or professional school, is that the operative issue within your bill, so that you are looking at three sources of accreditation in the future rather than a regionally accredited organization? Is that correct?
Well, Madam Chair, this really refers to the program of psychology. And that the program of psychology at this point is defined in statute, really using APA definition of what a program in psychology is, and it had to be And we're proposing that we're just replacing that with appropriate accreditation bodies. So my understanding what this amendment does, it just continues that old definition of program in psychology. That's all that it's doing to really grandfather anybody in who's in school. That's my understanding.
Yes.
Is that your intent?
I'm sorry. Are there any other questions?
Madam
Chair. Senator Holine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering, I'm just still a little unsure about this bill because of some of the questions that I had brought to me. What I'm wondering is, why now? What would be the repercussions if we did not pass this bill at this time? If it was brought back next year, I mean, would it wreak havoc with the psychology industry or anything? Or,
Madam Chair,
go ahead.
You know, I can't get up here and say that it would wreak havoc. All that I can tell you is that our charge is to protect the public and to apply the existing statutes and rules regarding eligibility. And then the second major functioning is that we investigate complaints. But all that I can tell you is that it's getting more and more difficult as higher education changes for us to apply that laundry list of criteria that exists right now. The world going to fall apart if we don't do it? No, but we think it probably does reduce our chances of, it certainly helps us use our resources more wisely, because right now the pure amount of effort that we have to go through just reviewing each application, we think it's going to reduce also our chances of getting sued. It helps us have the accrediting bodies deal with issues that are going on with the changes in higher education. We don't have the expertise to do that. So that's the
point of order. Aren't we on the amendment?
Yes.
Not.
We have not moved the amendment. So we haven't moved the amendment.
I have a question on the bill, but we're on the amendment.
We haven't moved the amendment. We have the amendment here for discussion. If someone wants to move the amendment, then we can.
Madam Chair.
Senator Jensen.
I move that we pass Amendment 24JA.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Holine to move Amendment 24JA. Any comments on that motion? If not, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. Motion carried. The amendment's been moved. So, Senate Bill 24 as amended, 24JA. So we're still on the bill now. Senator Bradford.
I have a question. On page 24, section 2, you're striking... It specifically mentioned a felony in the past 5 years. You're striking that. In my assumption, then, that would mean it would go back to in a lifetime.
May I?
Go ahead.
Answer. Yeah, it's again the as we're doing this, there were several other things that we wanted to clean up, and there's. An emergency suspension provision in the bill as well, and we just think that's necessary. We had a situation where we thought we needed that. We didn't have that provision, and most boards do. The provision that you're talking about allows us, and quite honestly, there may be some felonies that are just absolutely inconsistent with the practice of psychology, and we want to be able to have the ability to look back. So that's what that is.
Follow up.
Okay.
Well, in other words, to suspend or revoke, you want to be allowed to go back lifetime for a felony?
We want to have the ability to look at that. It doesn't necessarily mean that that would result in, but we want to know. We want the applicant to inform us.
Okay, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion or action.
Madam
Chair. Senator Jensen.
I move do pass Senate Bill 24 as amended.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Krebs. Do pass on Senate Bill 24 as amended. Any comments on that motion? Hearing none. The vote before you is do pass on Senate Bill 24 as amended. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Bradford.
No.
Holeen.
No.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. The chair will carry this bill. With that, we have concluded on our agenda. Just a reminder, some of us have been ill, and now that we have two nurses on this committee, we're certainly proactive and pro-health. There's a reminder, we have free flu vaccine, which will be in our building on first floor on Thursday, which is tomorrow, from 8:30 to 11 a.m. So if you haven't gotten your flu shot, you can get it, and it is still effective. Contrary to media out there, it is effective, and we encourage you to do that. If you get your flu shot, then we stay healthy and you stay healthy. So please join in that. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Holeen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.